Behind one of Mary Catherine's sheds, she showed me an old stone wall that had been the back of the Murphy family home going back six generations. Just another farmyard holding on to a sliver of our built heritage, like so many yards up and down the country. Now help is thankfully at hand in conserving these parts of our past. The traditional farm building grant scheme has just opened for applications from farmers. The money comes from the Department of Agriculture, but the scheme is run by the Heritage Council. I'm very pleased to be joined this morning by Virginia Tian, CEO of the Heritage Council. A very good morning to you, Virginia. The aim is to conserve the buildings, not to restore them. Can you explain the thinking there?
Hi, good morning, Philip. Yes, our aim is to work with farmers to manage what is really important to them on their land, their own space, their own buildings, and to conserve them. We're not looking at pristine new buildings. We're looking at protecting what is important to farmers. You mentioned the wall there behind Mary Catherine's farm. And sometimes these buildings are marks of previous generations of farmers who've invested their time and energy using local materials to create structures to allow people to do their work. And all across the country, there are wonderful examples of farm buildings, be they piers, walls, outhouses, cobblestone yards, all sorts of buildings. And there's a great affection for them amongst the farming community. And we're really privileged to work with the farmers to help them protect these buildings.
So in real terms, you wouldn't be averse to putting a corrugated metal roof on a restored old outhouse from 150 years ago, would you?
Not at all. No. No, we work with the farmers and with sometimes conservation experts that we support to advise farmers on what may be the various options for the reuse of the building. So the option is to keep what's good and adopt new materials to allow the reuse of the building.
In order to qualify for the scheme, Virginia, you have to already be in another scheme like Acres or the Organic Scheme. Now, farmers who aren't in those schemes might feel a little bit hard done by. Again, what's the thinking there?
Well, yes, I mean, it is the case that there's a restrictive entry, and really we're working in this phase of the scheme to support those farmers who've demonstrated commitment to protecting biodiversity and also ensuring that they're copper fastening their farm against the impacts of climate change. Ideally, we'd like to see the scheme expanded at the Heritage Council. We're really grateful to the department for the funding. But there's a lot more work to be done. So in the first instance, we prioritise those farmers who are working with a particular approach to farming.
OK, so you're cutting your cloth to measure to your budget, obviously, and you've decided to think of this as a kind of a reward for those who have already shown a commitment to maintaining biodiversity or the environment.
Yes, we're working with those farmers who have a particular philosophy approach to farming, and we have to prioritise. Ideally, we'd like to include more farmers. The ICMSA came out this week criticising the scheme, but in the management of state funds, we have to ensure that we're managing the funds properly, and that requires prioritising and ensuring that we're delivering value of money for the taxpayer.
Well, I suppose it shows, doesn't it, that you're onto a good thing and it's a good idea if everybody wants a little piece of it. Because I would imagine as well that the people who are not from a farming background but who have ended up purchasing or coming to own an outhouse or an outbuilding will be looking at a scheme like this and saying, God, that'd be valuable to me too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this isn't exclusive to people. Well, as I mean, there are restricted entry, but we would like to encourage people to value those traditional vernacular buildings. They are important parts of the landscape and people really love them. We did an attitudinal survey last year as part of a review, and 97% of the respondents said that they now saw the value in restoring old farm buildings instead of creating new buildings. And also 98% said that they knew more about restoring and maintaining old farm buildings. And also we provide a lot of employment for traditional craftsmen, for example, masons. And in 2022, over 31,000 hours of employment was generated through the scheme in local areas. Mm. And that's a really important output from the scheme as well.
I have a great example now of this scheme at work and what is there under your nose to be preserved with the assistance of schemes like this. I'm joined by Pat Chambers, a sheep farmer from just outside Newport in County Mayo. Pat, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
I know already you're a very lucky man living in Newport. We stayed there for Countrywide just last month. But can you tell me, please, about the shed that you were planning to pull down and the little treasure trove that you found in the walls?
I suppose we applied for the scheme back in April 21. And we got accepted for the scheme. And the day the builders started renovation on the old shed, they came on a jar hidden in the wall with letters from 100 years ago, the time of the Troubles.
I was just going to say, not just 100 years ago, from right in the thick of the War of Independence.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Lots of interesting stories.
And in the Civil War as well. What was among the documents?
There was a diary with poems and songs about a local lad that was shot dead here on the 7th of March, Jim Morton, on the 7th of March, 1923. There was receipts and letters from America between two brothers that were writing, telling them their nephew had been shot, Jim Morton. And there was a receipt from Sean Lamass, who attended an anti-treaty rally just outside Newport in a parish called Kilmina, where an anti-treaty rally expenses for him to attend the rally. There was receipts from local shops in Newport and letters coming from headquarters in Dublin about people that were, I suppose, under pressure trying to finance financially and that, and their people that their sons were on the run.
It's a remarkable little trove. There was also, the one that you're missing here is something that I think that your man who was just down the road from you in Ballada last night, but is probably safely back in Washington, D.C. today, would have absolutely loved this, that there's a full poem by Thomas Mulcrone from Westport. It's too long for me to read all of it now, but just listen to the last verse here. Then rest in peace, O darling soul, upon the breast of Ireland, and when we march to freedom's goal, your name will shine on glory's wall with those who died for Ireland. You missed a trick not pressing that into Joe Biden's hand last night.
Well, to be honest with you, we're taking it to America next October. We're taking the find over to Cleveland next October, because that's where the letters came from, so originated from. So we're going to America with them in October.
Absolutely remarkable. Now,
we might meet President Biden then.
You might indeed. Now, the part of the story that you kind of skipped over here, Pat, was that you wanted to knock this shed down, but it was your wife who said, "Hang on a second, now there's a scheme to help us out here."
That's the truth. That's the truth. Now I was going to knock it down, put up a modern shed in it, and Liz said, "Leave it. That's where some of the kids might one day." I dropped the old house that's adjacent to the shed, and we just spotted the advertisement for the scheme in the local papers and on the Farmers Journal, and from there we kicked off.
And what you have now is, well, look, it might not be as good or as useful as a large modern shed would be, but it's a fully functional shed. You've got something that's useful.
Definitely, definitely. You know, it's handy now for putting a few sheep and all that. It's marvellous now. It's very handy in the farm we have there for putting a sheep in it. And like the shame, a lot of them old traditional stone buildings have been bulldozed down and knocked down over the years. And it's a shame now. Like when I'm driving along the road now, when you see them old sheds, and you say, well, hopefully someday the farmer that owns that will avail of this scheme.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I mean, in the way that farming tends to work, are there people looking over the metaphorical hedge at this shed of yours and saying, God, how did you manage to do that, Pat? Where would I be able to take advantage of the same thing?
Well, I'll tell you, even this last three or four weeks, I've got calls from Meath, Cork, wondering how to apply and what's the story about it. You know what, I've told lots of people, and even last year and this year, it's unbelievable the amount of people that has.
Really?
That has contacted me.
Virginia, I think the thing that's most impressive about Pat's shed when you look at it now is that it shows how we can cherish our history, our heritage, but make it fully functional and sit properly in a living landscape in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, Pat's a brilliant example. And good morning to you, Pat, and everyone over in Newport. Pat's a brilliant example of living heritage, and that's what we want to promote. It's not around wrapping things up in, and keeping them in the past. It's around making them usable for now and making them part of everyday life. And what Pat and Liz have done is really brilliant, and congratulations to them. It's a great story. Huge interest in Pat's work. Pat had a wonderful exhibition in the County Museum in Mayo last summer. I was there, and there was people who were spilling out into the car park. People were so interested, and this is the story of local Ireland, and we're all part of a community, and what we do is to support communities. And Pat's story is a great example of our community and Pat's family going back just two generations, but close to the surface. And it's wonderful to see that it's going to go to the States now. Well done to Pat.
And indeed, the letters at the moment are in the Michael Davitt Museum in Foxford in Mayo. Quick question before I let you go, Virginia, is the one that every farmer is probably asking themselves. How onerous is the paperwork to get into this scheme?
It's not too bad. We do our best to make it as smooth as possible. We have a wonderful programme manager, Anna Meenan, who supports all the applicants. We've a lot of applicants, I have to say. It's really competitive. On our system yesterday evening at 5 o'clock, we had over 200. I must say, we can only award between 70 to 80 annually. And we've got another 10 days to go on the online application scheme. Projects between 4,000 and 30,000 are awarded. That's the maximum grant, 75% of the total costs. It's a really successful scheme. So many great stories, protecting the built environment, protecting biodiversity, local habitats. And it's a living heritage story,
which we really
want to build on.
Virginia Tian from the Heritage Council, thank you. And also Pat Chambers, the very best of luck in Cleveland to you.